Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're continuing our study of this gospel, and the passage this morning is one of the most familiar stories because it's so colorful. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is God's word. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I said that this is one of the most familiar of the Bible stories because certainly as I grew up hearing the scriptures, this was one that really stuck out. It's such a vivid picture to try and, in your mind, see the scene where four guys are carrying a man who's on a mat who can't do anything for himself. He's a paralytic. He is paralyzed. He can't use his muscles. And so he can't walk in. He can't just be helped along. He has to be carried wherever he goes on a mat. These guys bring him to Jesus looking for healing because Jesus is famous for healing all these people already. But when they get there, they can't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And so they go up on the roof. That's determination. That's acrobatic. If you were the guy on the mat, how are you feeling about this right now? Okay, we're assuming it's a flat roof. But Jesus is inside. These guys are outside. They go up on the roof carrying this guy, and then they go to about where Jesus is, and they start digging. They didn't just remove tiles. Not sure what the roof was made out of, but these guys are now doing what the Reno shows love. It's demo time. They dig through the roof and then lower the man on the mat right in front of Jesus. Now, previously, we talked about when Jesus is in the synagogue and his speaking is interrupted by a demoniac. This time, the interruption is not a demoniac. It's four guys who are desperate to get their friend to Jesus. Have you ever been desperate to bring somebody to Jesus? Have you ever cared about someone so intensely that you'd be willing to go up on the roof and dig a hole? How much does it matter to you that people meet Jesus? Well, I want us to consider another question. What do you need? What do you need? Our usual thought in response to the question, what do you need, is to think of something we don't have. Right? That's just the natural response. Somebody says, what do you need? We think about, what don't I have? But actually, you're getting along without it. We don't really need a whole lot of the stuff we have. So let me ask the question another way. What do you have that you couldn't live without? Coffee? I know folks who feel that way, but the fact is, if pressed, they would say, no, I don't actually have to have coffee in order to survive. I just have to have coffee to thrive. What do you have that you couldn't live without? I don't know how many times I've said it. I hopefully haven't said it in years. But I remember when I was younger, one of the things I would say from time to time is, "Ooh, I'm starving." That's never been true. I don't have to eat today. I'm looking forward to it. There's a chicken baking at my house. I'm looking forward to it. But if, God forbid, we went back up there and our son Paul is out in the driveway in his wheelchair and says, "Mom and Dad, you didn't take my call during the service. The house burned down." I wouldn't say, "Oh no, the chicken." You understand? I mean, I really value that chicken, but not compared to my son or the other stuff in the house. I don't need food as often as I think I do. How long can you go without food? Well, actually, for a while, even weeks. How long can you go without water? Not as long as you can go without food. Water is much more essential to your life, okay? So on a hierarchy of needs, food is up there, but water is more important. So would you say that's pretty much the thing you need the most? Well, actually, if you're under the water, you will discover there's something you need even more than water, right? Air. We need to breathe. We really need our breath. Okay, Pastor, where are you going with this? Here's where I'm going. The fellows who brought the man on the mat wanted him healed. The man on the mat wanted to be healed. The crowds that followed Jesus loved it when he healed people. When this guy is lowered down in front of Jesus, anybody can look at him and tell that he's paralyzed. Because when you are paralyzed for an extended period of time, your limbs atrophy. The muscle deteriorates. So when this guy got lowered in front of Jesus, the people there weren't saying, "Gee, I wonder what's wrong with him." They could tell. They could tell. He's paralyzed. But you see, everyone thought they could see what the man most needed. But Jesus saw but the rest of them couldn't see. Jesus saw that he had a greater need than physical healing. And so Jesus not only saw what the man needed most, Jesus did what no one else could do. Jesus looked at that man and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the religious people were upset. How dare he? He's blaspheming. They didn't say it out loud, but they said it in their hearts. And Jesus, who saw what that man needed most, also heard their thoughts that they did not speak. He knew what was in their hearts. And so, amazingly, Jesus gave those folks a gift. Not a welcome gift, but a gift nevertheless. Jesus, hearing their thoughts, exposed their thoughts. He exposed what was going on inside them. You remember when Adam and Eve first sinned? And they heard the sound of God in the garden and they ran and they hid themselves as best they could, trying to hide from an all-seeing God is really a fool's errand. But they tried. They covered themselves with leaves and they hid in the bushes, hoping to blend in. And God came and played along, kind of like parents do with preschoolers, who think that they can hide by covering their eyes. Well, God played along, and he said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "Well, we heard the sound of you in the garden, and we were afraid because we were naked, so we hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked?" As if he didn't know what had happened. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat from?" God was doing graciously with them what a parent does with their child, and that is giving an opportunity by asking questions so that the person can confess what they've done. God still does that with us. It's not that he doesn't know. The Bible tells us we need to confess our sins. It's not so that God can say, "What? You did what? When was that?" God already knows everything about us. Before a word is on our tongue, God knows it altogether. God knows everything. He knows everything. But in order to have a relationship with us, he wants us to get honest about what's inside, what's going on in our lives, what our hopes and desires are. And so God, who knows all things, elicits from us what's inside. Jesus said to these men, "Why are you thinking these things? Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'?" Well, I would say it's actually difficult to say both of those things. Yeah, but you see, if you say your sins are forgiven, people can't look and tell. You know? How do you look after you're forgiven? Still paralyzed. And Jesus says, "In order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Go home." Wow. And he did it. The man did it. Fabulous. But here's the thing. Jesus had just revealed who he is. That was much more important than this man's physical healing. When Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, he is saying something that these religious people knew only God can say. Because when you and I sin, we sin against God. That's why they said, this is blasphemy. This guy's putting himself in the place of God and saying, your sins are forgiven. He can't do that. But he could. Why? Because the Son of Man is God Almighty. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man is the Son of God. And so, Jesus had full authority to say, your sins are forgiven. Because he was the one to whom the debt was owed. Not only that, but he was the one who would pay the debt himself. Jesus didn't come into the world and say, listen, Ten Commandments, don't worry about it. That was just make-believe, okay? God doesn't really care whether or not you sin. It's no big deal. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said at all. Jesus came and he said, you've been told that you're not supposed to commit adultery, right? Let me tell you what that really means. If you look at a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You know you're not supposed to murder, correct? Okay. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer at heart. Jesus didn't come and tell us, hey, it's okay, no problem. What he told us is you're a lot worse off than you know. Well, that's not good news. How's that good news? Because when you realize that what you need is a Savior, he's there for you. He didn't come and tell us that sin is no big deal. He showed us what a big deal sin is when he died on the cross. He took our punishment and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It pleased the Lord to crush him. Because he paid the price in full. Because of what Jesus did, there's not some other thing we need to do in order to finish paying it off. The response to what he has done is to say, thank you. I'm yours.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, the paralytic was physically healed. But much more importantly, the paralytic was made a part of the family. Son, your sins are forgiven. What happened with this guy who's let down on a mat is what we need more than air, more than our breath. We need to be reconciled to God, because if you take a billion breaths and you die not having been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ, you are headed into forever in the lake of fire. I just don't believe in that. I was with you up until you said that. You don't get to vote on whether or not there's a hell. Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else in the scripture. Why? Because it's real. But Jesus didn't just die on the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell. He died on the cross so that we could be part of the family. God doesn't just say your sins are forgiven. If that were all he said, it would be magnificent. But he says, son, son, your sins are forgiven. How amazing that God would love us. The reason he sent his son to die for us was because he loves us. How amazing. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. He offers eternal life. Have you received that life? Are your sins forgiven? Are you a child of God? If so, what do you need? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Second part of the verse. All things are yours. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and following. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I've seen some people discover their inheritance. It's really cool when you get to be there and the news is good. Okay? And they find out that thing that they had not really thought was so valuable is treasure. It's worth a fortune. And there's just this amazement and almost disbelief. Are you sure? Is that true? Most of us live as if we don't have a clue what God has done for us. We spend most of our time focused on things that are nothing. Nothing significant. Not by comparison. God has said to those who trust in Jesus, you are my child and you will be with me forever. Rejoice. Give thanks and sing. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We have every reason to celebrate, no matter what's going on. Some of the happiest people I've known have been people whose circumstances were not happy. And some of the most miserable people I've known were miserable in large part because they got all the stuff they thought would make them happy and it didn't. What do you need? I'd say you need to be reconciled to God. And if you are His, you are His forever. And therefore, we can rejoice even when we feel lousy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.